Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 5th, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 76, third paragraph, starting with, Now We Need More Action. Today's readers are Don M. for the 12 Steps, Jody E. Q. for the 12 Traditions. The readers of the text are Judy M. C., Elizabeth T., Sherry M. and Mary B. That seems like a lot. I think I got Mary B. wrong. Anyways, sorry. Mary B. is our newcomer greeter. And Shelley E. or Robin P. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 4th, 2021, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17476. That's 17,476. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17493. That's 17,493. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Don M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Don.
Hi, good morning. This is Dawn M., the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Dawn. I'll now ask Jody EQ to read the 12 traditions. Jody, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Brandy. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Jody. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 76, third paragraph, starting with, "We need more action." I will now ask Judy MC to begin reading. Good morning, Judy.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great, thank you. This is Judy MC in Florida. I'm a gratefully recovered overeater, and I will start. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took our inventory. We subjected to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol or food. I love reading this because I have most of it underlined, starting with faith without works is dead. Work is something that I'm great at in the real world. I'm a hardworking person. I've always worked. I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. But I've really found a very hard time working hard in this program. And it's funny because for all the times I avoided the work that was to be done to recover, I spent more energy than it would have ever taken to do the work that's required. But I avoided it and avoided it. And excuse me, as a result. I slipped and slided and never ever recovered until very recently. And I've been in this program, I hate to say, but probably 40 years. So by finally being able to start doing the work, I'm showing that to myself that I really can recover, that anyone can recover. One of the things that I love here is that I want to run the show. And it is so true. I just had an incident yesterday. I not only want to run my show, but I want to run yours as well, because I can do it so much better. And I have all this time because I'm not taking care of myself. So I can take care of you. Just let me know what you need fixed. If you don't want to let me know, I'll let you know what you need fixed. And taking advice and encouragement from me was never easy. It's gotten better. I had to take some advice yesterday, or I chose to, about my work situation. And what a relief. For me, it's ego. I can do so many more things than anyone else and so much better. So just going to go forward regardless of the consequences. So I was able to sit and listen to some good advice yesterday, and I'm grateful for that. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Judy, for getting us started. We will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I'll now open the lines. Who would like to share?
Dawn B.
Dawn B.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Anyone else? Great opportunity if you're new to share, if you want to share. Okay,
Lauren
hearing
H.
No more on. Oh, Lauren H. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll start with that lineup. I have Dawn B, Sherry M, Debbie P, and Lauren H. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B, recovered in Southern California. And yeah, this is a great paragraph. I like how it starts out. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. So it says that in steps 8 and 9, we already have a list of all the people that we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. So for me, what was really helpful was I took all my resentments and my harms done and sexual harms done and put those into my list of, you know, potential amends, put them in a worksheet for steps 8 and 9, took all of them. And that was important because, you know, I didn't just limit it to those I thought, oh, for sure I did harm there and I didn't do harm there, because it was really helpful for me to look at all of them. So for example, I was resentful at my children's autism. So for me to write down autism, you'd think, well, I didn't do any harm there, so I wouldn't have it on my step 8 and 9 list. But for me, it was really helpful to, like I say, include all of my resentments initially on my list and consider my step 8 and 9 list like a worksheet that I would work out to decide if I was going to do an in-person amends or living amends or no amends necessary. But just including them all, because it really helped me to more clearly identify what is my actual harm done. So like for my children's autism, the harm that I did was that I didn't believe that God could bring any good out of that situation. I thought it was an unspeakable tragedy and no good could come out of it. So that was a harm done. And then I said that I felt that it made my children's lives less successful. Anyway, with those two examples, then my amends was for me to ask my higher power to help me to see, to learn what a successful life is from the eyes of my higher power. And that was really a beautiful experience to pray then as living amends, help me to see their lives, help me to define success, what a successful life is from your perspective, God. And then I realized through doing that prayer, that living amends, that in God's eyes, my children are perfect. They are whole. They are infinitely valuable. And they are loved beyond measure. And it was just such a beautiful, freeing experience. And then also that...
Time, please.
I didn't believe that, their lives were successful. In God's eyes, they are beyond successful. They are created as God delights in them being. And it was just a beautiful experience. Anyway, thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Dawn. I'll now have Sherry M. followed by Debbie P. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Thank you so much, Brandy, for facilitating our meeting and for everyone who does service. I love this paragraph. There's so much in here, and I always found it interesting that the big book lumps together steps 8 and 9. To me, and I'm grateful I had a sponsor, she separated them out for me. So there's no reason to worry about who I need to go to at this point, because I've just finished step 7. And what I need to do is just make the list, which is step 8. I'm always still in step 8 at this point. I make a list of everyone I harmed. Isn't that wonderful? I have all the names, as Dawn just said, from my 4-step inventory. But there are also other harms that I don't have any resentment in connection with. For instance, when I used to dine and dash at Denny's, I'm not resentful at Denny's, but I need to put them on the list as well because I owed them money. So there are going to be people on the list that are not necessarily in my 4-step, but that's a good place to go get the names. And as well, I listed everybody. And I don't need to worry about if I'm going to be, I should be more afraid of eating again and dying in the food at this point than having to sit in front of somebody and humble myself and say I was wrong. Like at this point, though, it's so easy to balk and say, I can't imagine doing these things, but we don't have to imagine them. We have to remember this, is that I did step 3 and I said, God, take all of me. You know, I said, here, you know, take my life and do with it what you will. I have no more wants or desires or needs. I turn over my life. That's the admission price for recovery for me. To be in a recovered state is to turn over and hand my life to God and say, do with me what you will, and to trust in that higher power. And then I did step 4, which cemented step 3, and each step builds on the next step. So step 8 is going to be cementing that I've now said to my, you know, maker, you know, I want to do your bidding and I want you to remove all these defects of character. One of the best ways to remove my defects of character is to own it and to own my mistakes and do better in the future, basically. But I don't need to worry about all that. All I need to worry about is that, as it's italicized, it says that I said I would go to any lengths for victory. So I need to ask myself that. Am I going to any lengths for victory or am I balking? Because then it's a step 1 issue. And maybe I have forgotten that I'm powerless over food and I have a fatal, permanent, progressive disease and there's only one solution and it means facing everybody. I don't know anybody who's recovered who has not made amends. So that tells me that I'm going to have to as well. But I also trust that by the time I get to step 9 and to wrap up, I will want to make those amends to be free because the promises are already coming true. And I have to tell you, the biggest gift that I can give to the world is making amends. What a gift that is to give to somebody, to say, you know what, you're not crazy at all. It was horrible being in a relationship with me, and there was nothing you could have done to change me. you know, that's part of the amends process. It's a leveler. It's a step of humbling myself. And it's the most beautiful step. Every step is not to be feared. The only thing to fear is not doing a step. Thank you so much, my cat.
Thank you, Sherry M. All right, I'm going to have Dawn P. followed by Lauren H. Good morning, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P. I'm calling from Indiana, and I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. The part of this paragraph that has stuck out to me and where I'm at today is that I will go to any lengths for victory over alcohol or food for me. And I am struggling with identifying what I want, what I need, but I still am trying. And talking to my sponsor this morning, she gave me two assignments. Number one, to reach out and make more outreach calls myself. And then also to just voice to everyone on the vision world my struggles with being honest and how do I continue to work the steps and be diligent to going to any lengths and try not to hurt those that I love that's around me, but yet to continue to try and identify my feelings and work through these steps. So anybody having those kind of experiences, I would love some feedback, and my number is on the members list. And with that, I will pass, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. Yeah, get some numbers, stick around. Lauren H., we have you up next. And then once Lauren H. is done, we will take more names, so be ready. Lauren, good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Lauren H., compulsive overeater, newly recovered in California. This is fun to hear these steps. Steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. As I've just gone through them again, it's really neat to hear vision and hear everybody's perceptions and experiences, because I just did my amends. I'm still doing one, still working at it. And what jumps out at me is action and more action and more action and more action. relapsed and decided to be rigorously honest, do every single thing my sponsor suggests. She said, okay, here's a great podcast to listen to with the format about how to write amends. And I listened to it and I'm going to write my amends, and I write my amends and I email them to her right away. So I'm just, my hair's on fire. I don't want to be in the hell anymore. And she's like, yeah. I don't know. Let's redo it. And so, okay, rewrite. Rewrite, repray, call this person. And this has been the most difficult step for me, the most frustrating step, as I don't get to be in control of how my amend looks and sounds. And I have, you know, my sponsor just kept having me dig. It was like, not this assignment complete. And move on. It was like, well, I don't think that's quite right yet. And I just waited until it was right from God, and God had written it. And I had kept sharing with people that I didn't know some really shameful things that I did as a kid that I really stuffed down. But I was willing. I would go to any length. And I'll keep, you know, I kept rewriting. And I must have written my amends, my husband, like, I don't know, 7 times, 8 times, reading it to other recovered fellows. And been a lot of action. I didn't expect that. But the freedom and the happiness that I'm feeling is awesome. So with that, I'll pass. And thanks for everyone who does service at this meeting. I appreciate it. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much, Lorraine. All right, so we'll open up the lines for further shares. If you shared within the last 3 days, we ask that you hold back and give others a chance to share. Who would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 76, third paragraph, starting with Now we need more action.
Holly.
Elaine S. in California.
Elena.
Holly Q.
Linda B.
Holly Q. Linda B. Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth T. Carol G.
Elizabeth
Barbara.
T. Carol G. Barbara E.
E. Yeah.
Okay. We'll stop there. So I'll tell you who I have. I have Elaine F., Polly Q., Linda B., Elizabeth G., Carol G., Barbara E. Okay. Elaine F., take us away. Star one to unmute, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine Saslin calling from Southern California. I'm a compulsive eater and so happy to be here at the meeting this morning. And a couple of parts of this paragraph really mean something to me, that where it says here, we attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. And, you know, this was definitely the hardest step for me. Making amends and really not just the superficial ones, but the really deep ones. And what the effect was, it stops the chatter. I don't have to live with chatter anymore. I don't have to live with anxiety. I don't worry about the future. And as I've been able to, you know, at this point, I've made all my amends. I've worked the steps several times now. I've been a chronic relapser. I'm not relapsing anymore, thank God. And I think it has a lot to do with making sure there's no chatter in my head and making amends, looking at myself, at my actions, how I relate to people. And then the second part is faith without works is dead. And the work not only of steps 8 and 9, but being useful to others, thinking in the morning, what can I do today that's useful for somebody else besides my regular day as it goes and being useful that way? But what else can I do? Who can I reach out to? What can I do to make somebody else's life a little bit better besides my family? And this keeps me, this works to keep me from relapsing again. And as I said, I'm very grateful to this program, and particularly a Vision for You and Vision for You sponsors. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Polly Q, followed by Linda B. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Polly Q in Northern California, recovered compulsive eater. And when I went into Vision, like, I don't know, almost 5 years ago, I don't know, I think this must have been my fourth, eighth step that I was doing. And so a lot of the real obvious ones that could be done, you know, pretty quick, I did. I had already done. So now it was more of the living amends ones, which are boogers. They are tough because I'm human. And a lot of them have been healed. But some of them are beginning to resurface. And I do my 10 steps and I do all that stuff. But on that 8-step amends list that I did were patterns that needed to be addressed for me on a deeper level. In other words, I needed to admit that, wow, I need help for this. This one I need some help with. And that's tough. It's difficult to admit that. It's difficult. I was talking with a sponsee and she said, I already worked the 12 steps. I did a really good job with it. I can't believe I have to go back and look at this crap again. And I said, you know, it's because you have worked those steps that now you are ready to look at that stuff. And that is, that means that trust has grown, that I'm not acting on the same selfish self-centeredness that I was, that I am willing to see the truth now. Maybe I'm willing to go back and look at that little girl and get her out of that mess. You know, there's a, so that I will not continue, so that I can do those living amends. I will not continue with those behaviors. So, and that came, that was on my list. You know, I didn't know it would be that path, but it was on my list. So it is really helpful to believe that I can trust my higher power with all of it. Otherwise, it's going to be self-will because I'm an addict and that's what I'll do. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Polly. We'll now have Linda B. followed by Elizabeth T. Good morning, Linda B.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Linda B. from near Toronto, Canada. I'm relatively new to a vision. I'm just starting to work on step four, but I have been in OA for a number of years, in and out, and another 12-step program. And my experience with steps 8 and 9 from previous inventories, step 9 filled me with fear, absolute fear. I didn't want to have to, I have a hard time with admitting that I need to say I'm sorry or to apologize. I feel like it means I've been a horrible, horrible person. And I know now I've been a sick person, and I'm trying to heal and be the kind of person my higher power would like me to be. And when I have made those amends, it hasn't been nearly as terrifying or horrible as my mind created it to be in my head. It's... I knew what I had to do, and I knew what I wanted to say, and it was amazing. If I tried to orchestrate these amends, this step 9, especially with my family, it was amazing how, when the time was right, when it was meant to happen, it happened. Like, I didn't stress over it. When the opportunity arose and the time was good, and it was an appropriate moment, it just unfolded. And here I thought I was going to have to call these people and schedule a time and a date and a place to make these amends. But it was amazing how it just all unfolded in God's time and took place when it needed to. And there was one amends I needed to make to my ex. And I really, it took me a long time, I must admit. I dragged my heels, but I prayed for the willingness, and it eventually came. And the only way I was really to do that, was ready to do that, was in a letter. So I wrote him a letter, and my sponsor went through it, and she said, that's obviously coming straight from your heart, and it's perfect. I can't suggest anything else that you could have added or taken out. And that letter I mailed to him, and that has transformed our whole relationship between us and our children. And it was, now I wonder, why did I take so long? But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And a part of me was, saying, well, he could have said more about my letter, but he just said, I got your letter. And then it was almost like, it was a new way of living for him and me. And that was all that was said about the letter. We just started acting differently.
Time, please.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm so grateful that our relationship is the way it is right now. And thank you for this opportunity to share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Linda. All right, so next up we have Elizabeth T., followed by Carol G. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, this is Elizabeth T. as in Thomas from Minneapolis. Thanks, everybody, for great shares. I just wanted to say, yeah, this is a great paragraph because what it's doing is it's sort of teeing us up to talk about steps 8 and 9. It says, right, we just went home, or we, after our fifth step, and then we go into 6 and 7. It's interesting that 6 and 7 in the big book, are really only two short, brief paragraphs. I really like them in the 12 and 12 because they really go into great depth, and they're very, very substantial, those two steps. And then we get to step, it says, yeah, we need more action. But we did a big inventory, and now we're going to need to do some more action. And without that action, our faith isn't going to go anywhere. We're not going to have that. We're not going to really feel the happiness, the joy, the freedom that are actually written out in the 9-step promises. So we look at this list of all the persons we've harmed, and I really enjoyed, or I liked what somebody said a little bit ago, is that there were certain people on my inventory, certainly they were needed to be on my list, but there are people that weren't on my inventory that I had harmed. So I think that would be just something to point out, is that even though we have our fourth step list, there may be other people or institutions or principles or what have you that we have harmed. We may feel a sense of guilt. We may feel that they are weighing on us. We may decide when we see them at a party, we want to run the other direction. We might not have any resentment towards them that came out in my fourth and fifth step, but maybe I have a sense of, like, I harmed this person. And so we want to put them on our list as well. We're subjecting ourselves to still a real rigorous self-appraisal. This is not about being a whipping stick. This is not about humiliation. In fact, it's about humility, but it's also about dignity, where we get to stand walking on 2 feet with our head high, and we will not fight anyone or anything. The thing about these steps is they are separate. You'll see that also in the 12 by 12, which is that we're going to write our list. And it says, if we haven't the will to do this, meaning if we don't have the will yet, the step 8 really is saying we're going to make the list, and then we're going to pray for the willingness, right, to make our amends. And they come in different forms, these amends. People have talked about that. They may come in living amends. They may come in forgiveness. They may come in a direct amends. We have many different ways. And as we start to let go and let God, that will be revealed to us through working with our sponsors. So it's, again, this wonderful, in italicized. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over our addiction, over alcohol or food. So this is just a kind of a precursor to what kind of work we got to do in step 8, different step, step 9. And then lastly, I just would like to leave with the thing that, amend doesn't mean I'm sorry. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. I was full of I'm sorry's. Amend really comes from that root word of amend means to change our behavior. And by working these steps, we start to show up in a different way. We start to mend relationships, and we start to be of service to those around us and our gods of our understanding. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol G. I will now have Barbara E. Barbara E., good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Beautiful day here in New Jersey, and more beautiful because I'm with you all here. Step 8. I did that mostly with the help of my sponsor. She called it step 8.5. I wrote down all the harms that I had done used based on step 4. And some of them, when we looked at them, my sponsor and I said, that's past history. That's water under the bridge. She's not thinking about you, and you're really not thinking about a harm you made when you were in second grade, Barbara, and you broke your little classmate's crayon in half. So let go of that. Give that away to the gods and hope she got her little crayon. We worked it out, and as someone on perhaps another meeting said, she had me use a 3x5 card because she didn't want me writing a lot of blather because people's eyes start to close over. Just simply say what I did that I really wanted to make an amend to her, meaning to mend it, as someone said, not just say I'm sorry, and ask her, what can I do to make it right? I was wrong. I'm sorry. I needed help to see that. And if there's anything you can say to me now that would help you, please share, please do it. So that's what I did as I got ready to make my amends. And some of them, the hardest of all, have had to be in the form of living amends. Amends with my husband, with my son, with my daughter, with the people around me, my friends, my relatives, the people that I see and love and adore every day, but sometimes I'm not kind. And I've adopted the acronym WAIT. WAIT being, why am I talking? Don't say it, Barbara. Just shut up, smile, and accept. For example, people have different political opinions, different opinions about books, about movies. If I'm asked for my opinion, I give it. But if I'm not asked, I don't. And that's just helped me to understand how I can move forward in life and be a better me than I was yesterday, and certainly, hopefully, better tomorrow. Because each day is an opportunity to do better, an opportunity to see the beauty, not the ashes. And that's really what it's all about. Thank you. And that's really what it's all about. Past.
Oh, thank you, Barbara E. All right. Looks like we have a room for a couple more shares if somebody wants to get in. I'm willing to take your name now. Who would like to share on this?
Carol.
Sorry, I got Carol E.
G.
G, okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Steve H.
Pardon?
Steve H.
Steve H. Okay, all right, we'll end with that. So Carol G, go ahead and share with us.
Thank you. It was an opportunity to speak up. I love this paragraph. I'm Carol G. in Illinois, recovered. And the reason I like it is, first I'll talk about the specifics with steps 8 and 9. I had been working on steps 10, 11, and 12. And step 9 sometimes takes a little while to do. And there were a couple that were left over that I was a little bit afraid of doing face-to-face. And what happened was I listened to a vision weekend with a fellow, Saturday and Sunday, and I was so inspired that during the break, in the middle of the day, I went out and made an amends. And then I came back and listened to the rest of the share that day. And I just couldn't get over how happy it made me and the relief. You can't really know what it feels like till you actually do it. And then the next day, Sunday, I had one more to do, and the same thing happened. During the break, it's like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm feeling the energy. And I did. And then all of a sudden, after I did that, I said, oh my gosh, I'm done. And right away, I had the sense I need to get a sponsee to pass this on. It was really beautiful. And then the second part is that this is a program of action. I love the word action. I never used to like it before a program because I just was in the food and it just cut down all my ambition and energy and focus. And then I went through the stage of almost being frantic when I wasn't into the food. What do I do with all my time? What do I do with myself and who am I? And then higher power helped me to get through those uncomfortable feelings. And now I love how I can just show up and I went to a party to people I didn't even know. Even though it turned out that they didn't mingle much, it might have been just because of the times we live in, I still showed up and have reunited with cousins and meet them for lunch, whereas before I would have no interest. Be like, what do I want to do that for? So, you know, I'm doing service. I'm on an intergroup. Little by little, I'm taking more and more action, and it's just a wonderful part of program and being a part of life. So thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carol G. All right, Steve H., take us out. Good morning, Steve.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Steve H. in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, newly recovered. And I start out with willing to go to any lengths for victory. Like the first opening share, I've been in OA all my adult life, all practical purposes, and my mom took me to my first meeting when I was 18, or maybe 19 or 20, and didn't even know where she was taking me or why. And but I did continue to go to meetings intermittently until I made, you know, more of a commitment. And then, but anyway, the I was just, you know, over the many years, I've at times I made great effort to get this, and it still didn't take. And now it's with vision, it's a little bit clearer why that. But even I've been in vision for many years, and went through many sponsors, and still had a great deal of difficulty. And I was mostly in relapse, and I was morbidly obese most of my adult life. And I'm looking forward to working with sponsorees, and especially with, what can I share that will shorten their time between, coming into program and becoming recovered, so they don't have to spend so much time in the wilderness. And but apparently this seems to be something of the nature of this illness, that for some of us we spend an inordinate amount of time still progressing in the illness even after exposure to the message. Something like another fellow shares that this disease is like being, kicked by a rabbit. it doesn't have the, the hard, in your face, with the way that can be with alcohol and drugs, where it brings somebody to awareness or clarity quicker of what they're dealing with. Anyway, and it took me a long time to realize that willing to go to any length. I always saw that as losing the weight, not a spiritual awakening. And so that was a big shift in itself. And okay, so I see it's time, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right, so we're going to now close the meeting. I'm going to ask Elizabeth T. to read from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning again. This is Elizabeth T. as in Thomas from Minneapolis, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand Him. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep